In your Bibles to page 51, if you're going to use the Bible that's in the pew, page 51, Exodus chapter 14. If you're using your mobile device, please put it to airplane mode. And I'll be reading from Exodus 14, verses 8 to 18. Exodus 14, that's page 51 in the Bible in the pew, verses 8 to 18. Exodus 14, verse 8. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi Hahiroth, opposite Baal Zephon. These are pretty hard words sometimes. Verse 10, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring to you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. We tried soccer, and she didn't aspire to be the soccer star, so we're trying swimming to follow her daddy's steps in being a swimmer. And for the second summer in a row, we've got Emmy in swim lessons. We have a pool, and so naturally we said, you know, we want her to be swimming and be comfortable in the water. So second summer already, and they begin with, you know, putting the child in the water and, you know, putting their face in the water by blowing bubbles in the water so they could learn to hold their breath underwater. The coach was teaching her to save herself if she fell into the water. You grab onto the wall and you pull yourself up. And this year, as we were in the fourth or maybe fifth lesson, we began to hear some whining and maybe a little bit of a whimper as, you know, Tamar and I are in the kitchen, not making looking like we're the peering over to make sure that the coach is doing his job, but just kind of hanging out in the kitchen, just making sure that Emmy's okay. And we hear this whining become louder and into a crying and, you know, not trying to meddle with the coach, but Tamar said, you know, why don't you go out and see what's going on? And the little whine becomes no and longer cry. And so as I go out, I want to see what's going on, et cetera. And she's vehemently being stubborn, as just, you know, like your kids ever do that. And she didn't want to do any of the things that the coach wanted to do, blow the bubbles. She didn't want to do the things like she was doing, jumping off of the, you know, holding onto the wall and then jumping into the arms of the coach or anything like that. And the coach was very gracious. And as the coach left, you know, we were standing there, and she goes, well, I don't want to swim. I want to swim with the floaty. Well, I said, well, the floaty is not working anymore. I'm not lying, okay? But the floaty essentially had a rip, and it was just God ordained that it had a rip because that led us to the floaty's not working. The only time you can go into the pool now is with an adult, and you know how to swim. You don't need the floaty anymore. Coach leaves. her grandmother, my mother-in-law, is in town, you know, with all the stuff that's going on. And she says, you know, I'll get into, I said, why don't you try going in the water with Med's mama? I kid you not. She gets in the water with Med's mama, literally, instantaneously, the lessons that she had been learning, coming off the wall, swimming, like a little turtle with her head up like this, right? Going right to Med's mama. And not even to that point, the next day, I said, okay, now let's do it with Daddy. The next day, we became even more confident, even more brave. Okay, so if you jump off the side of the pool, Baba will give you 3 bowls of ice cream if you want, whatever it is that's going to take for you to do this. And so, okay, and so we go to the edge of the pool, put the dodiks on the side, and just jump. But before she were to jump, she made sure I do this. She said, Baba, do this. Do this with your hands. Do this. And literally, you know, when a kid gets into the motion of wanting to do something over and over again, we did this for 15 times. She got out of the pool. She went onto the edge of the water. She put her toes on the edge of the pool. And she says, Baba, do this. Do this. And she's like stubbornly waiting for me to do. If I didn't have my arms out, she wasn't going to jump. Isn't life like this sometimes? We don't say, do this with your arms, but in reality, we want God to do this with his arms. We actually want someone to do this with their arms, because deep down, we've got so much going on that we want to make sure someone is there to catch us. Specifically, when overcome with fear, right? I mean, she's a bit hesitant. She's a bit fearful of the jump. And Baba, do this. And actually, yesterday, she covered another milestone. She got up on the diving board. Okay, we're now like 2 feet up in the air and jumping, belly flopping into Baba's arms, and Baba's trying to tread water. But right, when overcome with fear, what do we do? And I'm not talking about, you know, the fear of, I was going to put some spiders up and heights and claustrophobic places, but I know that some of us will get very anxious right now. But I'm not talking about those kinds of fears or the turbulence on a plane. Oh, man, that makes my legs just go like, woo, shaky, right? Of course, some of us have fears, and some of us, we really put a great front, no fear, bro. No fear, right? We have this front on. But here's a broad list of some of these fears that we have. Losing the money that we've earned. A serious health disease with our children, a loved one. Our child being born with a disability. Losing your wife in the midst of childbirth. Our children not knowing Jesus, dying alone, not being as successful, the fear of not having enough, fear of not being liked, getting fired for doing the right thing, fear of letting go of control, letting go of the control we have on our children. Or maybe a little bit of fear of not knowing for certain if we will be with Jesus in eternity. You see, fear can make us feel rejected. Fear can make us feel anxious, helpless, confused, weak, insignificant. When overcome with fear, what do we do? Obviously, the Sunday school answer is what? Pray. Sunday school, pray. Just pray. Is that all we should do? Is that all we can do? The parting of the Red Sea, if you read all of chapter 14, just because of time, we only read the big chunks for you, but if you read all of 14, you know the story, you know the Sunday school story, but before that, God has led the Israelites out of Egypt from chapter 7 up to 14. All we see God doing are some amazing signs, right? We see the 10 plagues. We see the staff turning into a snake. We see God leading them by the cloud and the pillar of fire. God is doing some amazing things. And he gets them to a dead end. Or is it really? Right? Because we kind of post that. We know the story. We know the account. And you get to a dead end and you got to go, man, you got to laugh and shake your heads at the Israelites' protest. Have they already forgotten? Have they already forgotten what the remember was about? Remember what I'm about to do. How often did God do just the amazing in our life? Just yesterday, God did some amazing thing, and today you've already forgotten about it, isn't it? God did some amazing thing 3 months ago, and we've forgotten about it already. Isn't it true that God will do some amazing things, and 1 minute we're praising God, the next minute we're going, God, I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you weren't there. 4 years ago, 10 weeks of bed rest. God, where are you at? Another 10 weeks of bed rest. God, are you serious? How quick are we to forget what God has carried us through? They faced a dead end. Look at the way they say it. They were, God's word says, they were terrified and cried out to the Lord, essentially saying, Moses, you're a fool for taking us out here and putting us in a dead end cul-de-sac. Was it because, look at the wording, was it because there were no graves in Egypt? Literally, you took us to our burial site. I had a better plot in Egypt than right here on the side of the ocean. Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Look at the mindset. Look at what fear has done to them. They would rather die at the hands of slavery than possibly escape death and not knowing what God has already done for them. Number one, when fear comes over, that's what we do. Number two, our natural instinct is we want to run away. Our natural instinct to fear is we just want to run away. We don't want to deal with it. We kind of just go, that's not me, not me, not my house, not my family, not my people. There's no way we run. Number three, we actually may even fight our way out of it. Whatever their situation is, whatever we're facing with fear, we kind of just go, okay, let's go at it. I got this. I'm brave enough. I got muscles. I got a gun. I got life. I can do this. We fight our way out. Some of us actually, number four, some of us are naturals in throwing blame on other people for the things that are wrong with us and the fears that we have. It's natural. Fast forward several thousands of years later from the Israelites, we're not facing death by chariots, okay? We're not facing death by chariots. We don't know what that fear looks like. But we're facing a different kind of fear. And we're often quick to cave into that fear. We're often quick that I got all the answers. We're often quick to make sure we have the outcome we want. You see, when we say we've got a fear of losing our money earned, right? So we do everything possible to control that, make sure that money doesn't go anywhere, right? So if I have a fear that I'm going to lose my hard-earned money, then I'm going to make sure that I don't tithe because I'm controlling it. Because I have a fear, what if God just takes it all from me? We even say, God forbid. You see, that's what fear does. You know, I can control this. I have the solution to this. So therefore, I'm going to do what I think is right. The question that was really interesting for me is, when did we go from being the wide-eyed child willing to jump into daddy's arms? Do this. When did we go from the leap to fearful of surprises, fearful of having all the answers, and making sure controlling all our outcomes? You think I don't want my wife to suffer on bed rest for 10, 12 weeks? You don't think I don't want to control us going to the triage 6, 7 times every time? Oh, it's painful. You think, right? We want to make sure we control every situation possible. When did we become this wide, When did we lose sight of, Daddy, do this, and just jumping into his arms? So God actually prescribes a way to handle our fears, verses 13 to 14. First one, it says, don't be afraid. Ten-second break. Don't talk to anybody. Don't say anything. Just hear my words and soak in this command. Don't be afraid. Whatever fear is happening, I know I said I wasn't going to talk, but whatever fear is not happening in our hearts, in our minds, soak in the command, don't be afraid. Actually, it's coupled with stand firm to truly hear it, because I think we can't actually hear it often. But if you look at the witness of Scripture, and it's not something like, you know, Mago, this is very hard. I'm not expecting you to not be afraid the next day. This isn't an overnight thing, okay? But from the beginning of Scripture all the way to the end, remember what it says. Do not be afraid, I will be with you. Do not be afraid, as I was with your forefathers. Do not be afraid, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, do not be afraid, I will be with you. Do not be afraid. Maybe today you had to come and you needed to hear just that command. Do not be afraid. Remember. Remember the God who parted the Red Sea? That's the God who's going with you. Remember the God who raised Jesus from the dead? That's the God who's going with you. Remember the God who changed the water to wine? That's the God who's going with you. Remember the God who died for you? That's the God who's going with you. Remember? Do not be afraid. That's the God who's with you. Daily. Maybe you're like me and you kind of like need it knocked over your head by a 2x4. Remember, do not be afraid. And I'm not saying be unwise and, you know, foolish and go stand in the midst of traffic on 41, right? Oh, you know what? I'm not afraid. No, car's not going to hit me, right? No, I'm not saying be foolish, but do not be afraid in whatever is in front of us. Second thing he says in it, look up. And watch what God will do. You see, a lot of the times when we're facing the fear or facing whatever's happening, do not be afraid, but look up. Stand firm and look up and see what God's going to do. In the passage, we see God doing 3 miracles. First one is in 19 to 20, the pillar of cloud actually moved. You remember I said the pillar of cloud by day is going to lead them and at night is going to lead them, right? But now the pillar of cloud goes behind the Israelites to prevent the Israelites' view of seeing the Egyptians. I mean, seeing the Egyptians seeing the Israelites. So it's actually acting like a buffer. So miracle number one is, look at what God's going to do. But where are our eyes and our hearts and our minds? I got this, God. I can figure this out. No, actually, God's going to act for you. God's going to do something for you, and he goes behind. Second one, Ken, he takes an ocean and makes a modern-day aquarium, takes the staff and puts it in, and the water parts. Folks, if you didn't get anything, maybe you get this one today. But in the Old Testament, this is the miracle. As in the New Testament, it's the resurrection of the dead, right? In the Old Testament, the parting of the Red Sea is the hoopla, the cream of the crop, the miracle. And in the New Testament, it's the resurrection. It is nearly the impossible. God using the laws of nature and saying, and water is becoming modern day aquarium, right? That second miracle, number 3, is in verse 24 to 25. It says that God jammed up the chariots and threw the Egyptians into confusion. Number 1, don't be afraid. Stand firm and don't be afraid. Number 2, look and watch what God will do. You see, I actually don't think you're going to see what God is going to do if you're not afraid and you're standing firm. Number 3, because I can't believe, I mean, I can't wrap my mind. Maybe I'm, but maybe, you know, if I was the Israelite, I would be acting the same way. You know, God just did 11 miraculous things, and they're already complaining, freaking out, and they want to go back to Egypt, right? Maybe I actually need to see modern day aquarium to go, oh my gosh, there's an octopus. Oh my, there's a shark. What's in the water? But it's not getting me. Oh, look at the pretty dolphins that are swimming. Right? Well, maybe I actually need to have that, okay? He's done all these things for them to know that salvation comes from God alone. Number three, stand still. This one's hard. Everything has to be fast. I got an answer. I got an answer for everything, right? You asked me a question. Oh, let me Google real quick. Opposite of this is stand still. You know, we get frustrated when we don't get our food on time. Now you can actually avoid the lines and mobile order your food in. We can even laugh at this command of stand still because you know why? We are so used to noise. We're so used to visual stimulation that if you're not visually stimulating me, I gotta do something. I can't just stand still. If we actually had 10 minutes to ourselves without interruption, I actually don't know what we would do with it. Would you? Oh, but by the way, I have 4 kids and 3, dogs and 14 chickens and, and all these things that I gotta do. And, my to-do list, that's dreaming of this and then, Stand still. We actually complain about not having time to ourselves. Funny thing is, you actually do it to yourself, isn't it? You go to your schedule. If I go to your schedule and say, okay, here's 15 minutes of time that we can just kind of say, we'll throw it out. And you'd be like, no. I wanna have control. Stand still. You know what the funny thing is about this verse here? The be still. In mine, there's a reference to the be still in Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. What is he doing right now to the Israelites? You are going to know, the Egyptians are going to know that I am God, that salvation only comes from me. The funny thing is, we don't know how to stand still because we're so overwhelmed by the noise, by the chatter. We are so busy with the little gods of social media, of work, to notice God. We're too busy making our lives full of stuff that we have no time to be still and to notice that God's doing some amazing things just yesterday, just this morning. The fact that you're awake and alive right now is a miracle in itself. Verse 31, and when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. You see, I think God's trying to get our attention in various ways, yet we are so consumed by life, by noise, that God can be doing some amazing miracles, yet we can't see it. What else does God have to do to show that he's God? This is why I like reading these verses in different versions. In the Amplified Classic, if you're following on your Bible app, you can quickly turn to there if you'd like to. But in the Amplified Classic, verses 13 to 14 says this. Maybe you want to close your eyes and read and hear what it says. Moses told the people, "Fear not, stand still, firm, confident, undismayed, and see the salvation of the Lord, which will work for you today. For the Egyptians you have seen today, you shall never see again." This is where I love it. "The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace and remain at rest." Look at that. The be still is actually, according to this verse, it seems that in other sections of the Bible, like when Jesus says, "Peace I leave you," or that the Holy Spirit dwelling in our hearts, that when we actually commit to having a relationship with Jesus, it says we will experience rest and peace. You know what the opposite of being in fear is? my feeling wheel. The opposite of being in fear or scared of something is actually being in peace. Do you want to experience a rest from your fear? It is well with me when Christ's peace reigns in me. A friend of mine said the other day, fear is letting your circumstances come between you and God. Faith is letting God come between you and your circumstances. Fear is letting your circumstances come between you and God. Faith is letting God come between you and your circumstances. He doesn't know if he heard it somewhere or he read it somewhere. I said, man, can I steal that from you? And so my question is, what are you doing when overcome with fear? Remember this, do not fear. Look up, stand still, and rest in that promise. Repeat, do not fear, look up, stand still, and rest in his promise. Repeat, do not fear, hey, look up, stand still, rest in his promise. Repeat. No, I mean, you know, you. For me, I need to hear it three times, four times. Maybe you're like me. It is well with me when Christ's peace reigns in me. I was having a discussion, last couple stories. I was having a discussion with someone about this passage, and they were fascinated about this passage. And I don't know if this was the first time they had read through thoroughly with this passage. And the question they ask, and I ask this question often with this passage, is, or even with the Old Testament, God, why won't you reveal yourself like you do in the Old Testament now? And as much as, you know, I love having those why answers, but I don't. And I don't know, maybe my answer to this wasn't as sufficient, but I don't have those why answers. You look at the book of Romans, it highlights that God has revealed himself in creation. You look at the New Testament, you look at the revelation of Jesus, God has revealed himself through Jesus. See, if we have a relationship with Jesus, God has said, I have put my Holy Spirit in you. So actually, God is using you to reveal himself to other people. So there, we've got three ways already that God is revealing himself to people. When Christ's peace reigns in me, then it is well with me. You know, folks, it is a bigger miracle that God is working in my heart and transforming my heart than him saying, here's a plague, Egypt, than him saying the walls of water happening. It is a bigger miracle that I am living with Jesus right now than him saying, part the seas and let them be saved. It is a bigger miracle because you're going, oh, well, you're a Bodville, you've been about. No, it is a bigger miracle that the Holy Spirit can go into the junk closet and say, you know what over there? That's some crap that's going on over there. Let's clear it out. It is a bigger miracle that God's working in my life than the fact that he's parting the seas and the fact that he's sent a swarm of flies. Tamar's OB doctor is a believer. In the midst of the various triage trips, the scripts, the non-stress tests on the baby, the bed rest, there have been numerous times, where she locks in to both of us, and she just goes, you need to trust God through this. Isn't it great that a medical doctor, now no thing against medical doctors here, but here we go, doctors saying it's above and beyond the things that we have, the solutions that we have, the answers that we have. You need to trust God through this. It's the same with all of our pregnant people. What if scenarios start popping up? What if this? What if that? And she says, you need to trust God and not give in to the fear that's in front of you. Because God's doing this with his arms. It is well with me when Christ's peace reigns in me. You see, we have access to this daily. Daily, we could jump because we have access to this. Daily, we get people that don't know this have access to this through you. You know the grocery clerk when you're checking out at Save Mart? Maybe he's got some serious fear about something and he's not even going to the edge because he's so consumed. Well, maybe he comes in contact with you who loves this, who's been jumping, and the simple mouth of encouragement can get this guy to say, wow. Or maybe it's the cousin who everybody avoids at the family gatherings. You get their food, oh gosh, I'm not talking to him, right? And you're just kind of going, well, what if that cousin needs to know something about the thing that's consuming him or her and is scared to jump because he's so consumed by fear of something? Maybe it's the fear of dying without knowing Jesus. But yet when you actually open your mouth because the Holy Spirit's dwelling in you and the Holy Spirit's actually kind of going, talk to him, talk to her. They need to hear about the peace that reigns in your heart. They need to hear about the peace that reigns in your heart. Our fear gives in. What if they need to know that God's doing this with his arms, yet we are too scared to open our mouths? It is well with me when Christ's peace reigns in me. Would you stand with me?